You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1433.
In my office, my life, it's opportunity through distress.
Sure.
So if you want to find the big deals, you've got to find the distress. You know how they say, follow the money, follow the distress, and you'll find what it's attached to.
Right.
And if you want what it's attached to, and you can fix that problem, then you'll get a $2.5 million apartment complex for $1 million.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I am your host, Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, and I've got a really special episode for you today. We've got Logan Fulmer here out of Texas, and this guy does massive deals, and he's going to break down how he goes out and finds these unbelievable, unique opportunities in his marketplace. Check this out. Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. Logan Fulmer, how are you?
Great. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to do big deals.
Big deals.
So how do I do that?
Figure out how to pay for them.
Okay.
Figure out how to get them at a really good discount, because that means you have to come up with less money to pay for it.
Sure.
And you got more safety.
Yeah. But how do you find really big deals? This is what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you are industry known as finding these massive, big time deals that sometimes take years.
That's right.
Sometimes you have to really get in. I mean, nobody's done more title investigations than you that I know. And I want to know how to do them.
I think you're right. I've actually went through this time about 2-3 years ago where I said, let me find other people, because the wholesaling real estate community is just so connected. And I thought, let me go and see if I can find other people to do what I do. And I can find people under a bridge in Costa Rica. I can only find about half a dozen people that do what I do in the United States with any level of proficiency.
Right.
It was really surprising. There are a lot of people that do onesies and twosies, but yes, to your question, how to find them. In my office, my life, it's opportunity through distress.
Sure.
So if you want to find the big deals, you've got to find the distress. You know how they say, follow the money, follow the distress, and you'll find what it's attached to.
Right.
And if you want what it's attached to, and you can fix that problem, then you'll get a $2.5 million apartment complex for $1 million. You'll get a $3.5 million warehouse for 1.5. You'll get $3 million worth of land for $1 million. You'll get $1.5 million tract of land for $250,000. You get $250,000 property for $30,000.
And these are your deals.
They're my
deals.
This
is what we're talking about.
I'm paying for them.
Right.
I'm taking them down. 90% of the time, my wife is my agent. And I have some commercial agents just dump them on MLS and sell them.
Yeah.
But sure. About 1 in 10, 1 in 15, I say it's an asset that I like in a location I like, or it's a good time where I have the availability to buy more stuff. So then I'll put it in the portfolio and it becomes mine.
So you live in San Antonio. Are these deals in Texas then?
Only Texas.
Yeah. Only Texas. Why?
You know, I started in San Antonio on the east side. I understood it. That's where I learned to do messy deals on these really small $50,000 tracts of land. And then I started to, I guess, get a little bit better, more experience. So I started doing all of San Antonio, and then I started getting calls in other areas. But the biggest time where there's a single event that changed that, I was doing the same deals. I'd buy for $10,000, sell for $50,000, like rapidly on East San Antonio. And a friend of mine called and said, hey, I got this deal in Austin. It's a mess. And he's telling me the problems. I'm like, no big deal. That's exactly what I do. Said, what do you think you can get it for? And he said, these people will sell their share for $50,000. And I looked at the appraisal district, and this property is worth $500,000. And I look at it and say, hold on a minute. A light went off. We're doing the same work down here in San Antonio for $50,000. We can do it for $500,000 in Austin. And the safety level on the deals, the margin of safety and the protection is so great, because you're buying a $500,000 piece of land for $50,000, $100,000. I don't need to go see it. I can screw up so bad. It can be smaller than I thought it was. It might not have a house, and I thought it had a house. Doesn't matter. I'm still in the money. So I didn't even go to Austin to look at that track. I bought it. I still have never even actually been there. And when that event happened, I thought, Houston, Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, let's go.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. So did you always start with big pieces of land and commercial? I mean, these are big ticket items. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like these are These are highly priced properties.
Yeah.
Did you start with that?
So the reason I started with the small stuff in the beginning, because that's all the money I had. I could buy a lot for 10 grand, for 5 grand, because I had that much.
But you were just attracted to land.
No, it was just the cheapest property. So when I was working in the oil field, I was saving cash.
Okay.
And I wanted to be an investor. So I didn't know what that meant yet, but I could find these cheap properties on the east side of San Antonio.
Right.
2014, 15 range. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I can buy this for 5 or 10 grand. And the houses were more expensive than the lots. Sure. So I thought, well, I can afford more of the lots. Now there's no income on
them. So you're buying
these
cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oil just filled, from your savings.
Right.
From what were you doing at the oil
field? So I was project management, pipeline and facility construction management.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't...
I wasn't a roughneck. Everybody's story is like roughneck to rich. That ain't me, man. I was like wearing some nice clean boots on a job site.
Was your
job
family
trailer.
From?
No, dad was a CPA. Mom was a realtor. But when I got out of college, I tried all these different things and nothing really stuck for me. And a buddy called and said, come out here. And he's like, man, idiots make 100 grand out here. And at the time I felt like an idiot and I can make 100 grand. So I'm like, let's go there.
Yeah. And then you're just taking and putting it into land and flipping the land.
Right. So after a couple of years, that was a time, which something you brought up earlier, the reason I came to Phoenix, I was blowing through my inheritance early on. And when I got to the point where I ran out of all that. And I
How much inheritance?
Just under $1 million.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So mom and dad did all right.
Grandparents.
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 Right. What'd they do?
So farmers. So this is the sad part, man. That was like generations of farmland.
Yeah.
Grandparents died. Father had already just passed away recently. So the money comes straight to us. It was dad's side.
And how old were you?
25, 26.
Oh, no.
Right. So in that point.
They gave you $1 million?
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So between me and my brother and sister, it was just buy whatever we wanted.
Sure.
That was really bad choice. But at that point, I got to the point where I'd spent. Now, when I came out here, only had 25 grand left.
You and spent $975,000.
And that was enough. Yeah. And that's enough where I thought I was going to start a business and live for, like, that's how delusional I was. But the point is, when I left here, I went back, was trying to figure my way around Central Texas. And a buddy of mine called and said, come to the oil field.
Sure.
Right after I'd sobered up. And I get out there working and I'm like working my ass off. And 100 grand is more than I ever earned. But I'm looking at this saying, dude, it's going to take me 10 years, maybe 15 after taxes to save what I just burned in 3. Mm-hmm. I realized, like, I'm finally sober. I can't keep doing this. I got to save. So I work really hard. And I was a miser at that point. Opposite.
Sure.
Instead of a drunk, like, I guess, spendthrift, I was a sober miser. So it's a big change.
Yeah.
But what I found is after a couple of years, I was saving this cash. And I saw land on the east side of San Antonio because that was the closest big city to me. So I'd go over there. And I'm looking at the situation where Central Business District has high value property.
Yeah.
Downtown, usually. You cross over that highway and the land is 5 for a lot, 15 for a house.
That's very common.
Right.
Right.
And I'd seen a lot of other downtowns kind of bleed out from the downtown and values go way up. So I thought, all right, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, sure. So then you went and bought by downtown.
Right. So the way that happened is I kind of spent the couple hundred grand that I had saved up on vacant lots.
Okay.
And there were several lots that had title problems and multiple owners, judgments and liens, and all these kind of problems. And it was just too much hassle because there were 1 in 5 tracks on the east side of San Antonio were vacant lots at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm not buying that. I'll just go to the next. But about 2015 range, I started getting calls from realtors and folks looking me up wanting to buy it. They were speculating and building new housing over there. And I'm getting calls like, well, buy this lot from me for 100 grand, 200 grand. I'm in them for 5-10 grand a piece. So when that happens, I realized I got to go back to the honey hole and get more. Problem is, everybody knew that, you know, values had
Words
come
out.
Up.
Yeah.
No more secrets. So I recalled a couple of the properties that had major title problems. And one of the last ones I bought, and I didn't realize a problem existed until I tried to go sell it, is that I'd bought 1 of 8 deeds. And I didn't get title insurance. I got sloppy at the end because mm-hmm. I'm paying all these title fees. It's slow. And I had a couple people say, just give me the money now. Fine. I'll meet him in a lawyer's office, give him the money. And this particular property is 1 of 9 deeds. So I went through this process over that summer of hiring a lawyer, tracking down the other owners, clearing up the issues. There were judgments and liens. Like, man, I got like a master's degree in curative title work that summer that I spent $300 an hour to get. But after I learned how to fix that, then I said, okay, let me go back over there to the east side and try to buy more of these discounted properties. And I looked for the problems.
Mm-hmm. Curative title.
Yeah.
This is where you're the master.
I would say my competency. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're looking for opportunities where maybe the property owner has tried to sell it, but they can't.
More often than not, that is the case. Really, I'm looking for something that has a big problem, whether they know or don't know. But if they already know.
Can you search for title issues?
That's right. You can. And if you know what to look for.
And then go and this is what you do though.
Yeah.
This is where. Oh. Okay. Now we're getting into this. This is really exciting. So you can go and search out the problems. And because you've had experience unraveling these knots.
Right.
That's where you make these big deals.
That's the only way you're going to get this kind of discount. The markets are hot. Everybody knows about real estate. They've been watching you on YouTube telling them come buy property.
Thank you.
No, you're good at it. You get the word out. And guys, just like you've been now doing it for 10 years.
Sure.
There ain't no secret.
Right.
But of all the time that I've spent, there are a lot of unique ways to search for property with distress. But the common thread I find in almost all of them is they're behind on their taxes. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to get complicated, learn a bunch of complicated or a bunch of unique searching methods, you can go look for, pull the delinquent tax list and start marketing to them. When you have a small—
What do you mean marketing to them?
Just contact, calling.
You're calling, you're reaching out. Are you sending any letters? Are you doing anything there?
I did letters early on, but one of the problems you're going to run into is a lot of these owners have died or they're harder to get a hold of. They don't live in the property. And your letters are going to wind up on the front porch.
So how do you get a hold of them on the phone then?
You've got to have a really good data set, which is not the kind of data that most folks can just buy in bulk.
Right.
You've got to have a private investigator and or access to that credit level data set.
Right.
So that's how we do it. You're looking one
by
one.
So you're looking for relatives.
Usually you're looking for relatives or a neighbor. Those are the two ways.
Sure.
At least 50% of the time, we talk to a relative, not a child, a relative outside of that. Mm-hmm. That's our first contact usually.
Mm, got it.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for tax defaults. Mm-hmm. You're looking to find the property owner info. I mean, are you filtering it based on, okay, this is a big piece of land. This is a big piece of zoned commercial land. This is a big.
So let's see what. Let me go back to a question you asked earlier that I didn't get to answer or that I didn't get there. I started doing these on $50,000 properties because I understood them and it was affordable at the time. But as cash grows and I'm really conservative, you know, financially, I got money saved. I got credit lines available at the bank and I stumble across a deal. I'm doing these $1,500,000 deals and I pop across one in Austin that's $500,000. Mm-hmm. But my spend isn't $500,000, it's $50,000 to $100,000. So I'm starting to grow the deal size. And you get to a point where you say, this is the same for $2 million, $500,000, $100,000. It's all the same. So when that happens, then it becomes a decision, like a metric that you look at and say, it's worth this much. This is the problem. It's a simple problem or a complicated problem. How much can I spend and it's worth it? At this point, the biggest one I think I've done is $3.5 or $4 million with extreme distress. Oh, not true. I just bought 200 acres in the Dallas area for $5 million. 2 months ago, and I'm getting ready to sell for 10.
You just closed on it?
Well, no, I haven't closed yet. I've contracted it, and I've given hard earnest money. So this is going to be a 9-month process, but it's interesting. It's actually a development track. Mm-hmm. So I've got a third-party developer who's going, a fee developer, who's going through the municipality up there, getting approval for, that one's going to have 300 small lots on it. Mm-hmm. So we're going, so this is actually, it's partially a distress deal, but then you're going to the highest and best use because I was able to find a developer to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's where some of the ad is. If I were to buy and resell it immediately, I paid five, I'd sell it for six or seven, but I'm doing the additional value add on the entitlement. So I'll get pick up another three probably.
And how much is the hard earnest money?
That one, the first piece was $50,000, but now it's $50,000 every 90 days. Mm. So I'll be in probably 200 by the time closing happens.
Do you have attorneys help you unravel these?
Yeah.
And what does that cost?
So the interesting part is because I spend a lot of time figuring it all out, you have to be a lot more creative. A lot of these attorneys are not creative.
Right.
So you need to know what they know, but then you have to apply your own logic to it, your business, I guess your businessman hat, you got to put that on, and help these attorneys not get in their own way. Mm-hmm. So they know the technical stuff, but I know the kind of how we're going to string it together.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look. I spend anywhere between 10 on a low month and on a big month, $50,000 in legal fees usually.
Yeah. And this is this deal here where it's $5 million. You're going to make $10 million on it.
Well, I'm going to make five. Buy for five, sell for 10.
Yeah. Sell for 10. Where are you getting the $5 million from?
Strangely enough, on this one, I don't have to pay it. So I'm teeing up buyers right now that are builders. Mm-hmm. And I'll be out somewhere between $200,000, maybe $250,000 when it's all said and done for engineering fees, legal fees, and hard earnest money. And a builder will buy this, so I'll double close, like a wholesale deal.
Right.
So I won't pay for it.
It's the same thing we do.
Right.
It is. I mean, it truly is. If you have a long enough timeline and you've got all your ducks in a row and you already have the buyer that wants to buy it and you've already negotiated that, their funds will close this deal.
Right. That's right.
Real estate's the best.
Yeah.
What do you think you net on it? For real.
When it's all said and done, probably four. But remember,
ring this thing. You got to ring it way harder than that. There we go.
So holy cow. You also need to, when I say something like that, it's very polar. Well, but it's a very polarizing statement. So remember, I got partners.
Not to me.
So one of the guys in my, I didn't find this deal. I didn't do much of any of the work. So one of the partners in my office found it. I looked at it and said, okay, I like this deal. Another one of the partners called the development guy. Yeah. My share in this is about 25%.
Sure.
So I get about $1 million.
Yeah.
But I've not been there.
Right.
I didn't look at any contracts.
Sure.
I had 3 meetings about it. And I'm talking to you about it. That's about all my involvement right now.
Right.
So earlier when you guys talked about partners,
so what do you do all day then?
Right. Talk to guys like you. No, most of my time is spent doing strategy work. We have a lot of litigation going on. I probably have 24 lawsuits at the moment. So most of my day is spent with attorneys figuring out how we're going to handle a case. What's next? Is it time to settle?
What do you mean lawsuits? Like people are coming after you or you're going to...
Yeah, a lot of times I'm going to go unravel something. I have to file some kind of lawsuit. It might be a trespass to try title lawsuit. Sometimes it's specific performance. When you and Eric were talking earlier, he said, what do you do when they're going to back out on you? Yeah. He's really good dealing with people, getting them back on board. His process is tailored to keep them on board. Yeah. But when I'm buying a $2.5 million apartment complex for $1 million, mm-hmm. and the dude says, I just got my new appraisal district value and it's $2 million, yeah. I ain't coming to closing. And I say, yes, you are. He says, no, you ain't. And I say, let's see what a judge says about it. I ain't walking away.
Right.
So in that case, you spend like 150 grand to make the guy sell it to you.
Doesn't that keep you up?
The first couple of times, yeah, you get bubble guts. You always get counterclaims. So of the lawsuits I have, you know, I've been sued twice that were they originate. So I was in defendant. The rest of the time I'm the plaintiff.
Right.
So the first time I was sued just right out of the blue, I was nervous. You know, you got bubble guts, you're not sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then immediately your mind goes to what's the worst that's going to happen? It's going to destroy my business. I'm going to be broke. You know, all those things. Mm-hmm. But after you do it a few times, you understand what the scope is like. You have a budget for it and you have a plan.
So you look for these, I mean, you're looking at all these properties that have title issues. You've got a team of attorneys that can help you out with specific things, and you put together the game plan to be able to buy it.
Yeah.
You just have to talk to the property owner, see if they want to sell it.
So the crazy part is they are dying to sell it. They've been trying to fix these problems. Typically, when we show up, 10 years, some of them generations.
Right.
It's that bad. So when we show up and say, we want to give you... I'll tell you a very common deal size is $250,000.
Okay.
And we spend no more than $50,000 to buy that.
Right.
So when we tell somebody we're going to buy it from you and they say, yeah, we've heard that a lot, blah, blah, blah. The local judge couldn't fix it. Say that makes sense. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to pull your leg. I'm not going to waste your time. Let us get a little bit more research done today, but you do want to sell it. I'm not going to pay you $200, $250. I'm going to give you about $50,000 and 10's going to the tax office. So mm-hmm. you're going to get about $40,000. Mm-hmm. Now there's 6 of y'all. That's going to get that $40,000 is going to get divided among all of y'all. You get that, right? They say yes. Mm-hmm. So I say, I'm not going to pull your leg. I'm not going to make any promises. Let me do the research. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to send an attorney or a courier, what do you call it? Mobile notary mm-hmm. to your house. That mobile notary is going to have a contract, a closing package, and a cashier's check. Mm-hmm. So you get to do it all at once. You're not going to title company. There's no promises. Mm-hmm. You get paid or you don't. That's it.
And they go for it.
They go for it.
Yeah.
They've been trying to fix these problems for years.
I feel
like
you bought properties that I remember a conversation we had a couple of years ago when you were in my office in here. And you had bought a property from somebody that had passed away and it was just sitting there or something.
A lot of them are like that. Yeah.
Right. And then the family members get super like pissed off. Right?
That does happen. So it's interesting.
How does that work?
You have people that are unreasonable. So, for example, if your father passed away, and let's say you're 3, you and 2 other siblings,
yep.
and maybe your father didn't make a will. Maybe he did, and you probated it, but you missed an asset. Strangely enough, that happens.
Yeah.
He might have had a house over here, or if all 3 of you siblings didn't have a good relationship with your dad, and you haven't talked to him in 20 years, but he died, you ain't going back to check on him. You're not looking for a will. You're gone. You're despondent. Mm-hmm. So a guy like me shows up maybe 5 years after your father passed away. Taxes are owed, old vesting deed to a deceased person. So we start calling people. The first guy says, dude, I could care less. $500. Now I own 33%. Mm-hmm. Then I get on the phone with the next guy and he says, I don't care, but I ain't doing it for 500. I want $2,000. Great. $2,000 done. Now I own 2/3. Mm-hmm. Then I call you and you say, what? I want $1 million. I'm like, dude, the place is worth $200,000. Mm-hmm. I want $1 million. By the way, that's the house that my daddy was born in and my grandmother built it. I'm like, dude, chill out, man. You didn't care about this at all. You haven't been here in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it can get out of hand sometimes.
Yeah. But how do you buy that house? Do you have to like buy it from me, or can you go and
there are a couple remedies to it? Yeah, so there are a couple remedies there. So usually what I do is when I get to that point, sometimes I say, look, your share is a third. You will never get more than a third with or without me. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just go sell it together? I've already picked up a lot of equity on the front, two thirds. Let's just go sell together. Sometimes they don't want to. Mm-hmm. So in Texas, you have the property code is section 23A. It's a partition of heirs property. Mm-hmm. So you can just ask a judge to sell it. And the judge will order a sale after you do some process. So you can do that. There are other ways. Usually, if I had to pay the taxes off, I'd go to the other person and say, dude, I paid $20,000 in taxes. You owe me a third. That's how the law works.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to pay me that third and reimburse me, I could sue them and maybe foreclose on their interest. You can sometimes, that'll give you a little bit of leverage and they'll now become reasonable. Mm-hmm. There are options when you get to that case.
Sure. But how do you find properties that, well, it's tax default, I guess. You're just looking at the tax default and then you're just pulling that thread.
Yeah. So that's the easy answer. There's another one. If you go into the appraisal district in our area, for example, if you type in et al, which means and others, mm-hmm. when the tax office finds
E-T-A-L-L, right?
E-T-A-L.
Got it. Yes.
So if a person passes away and one of the owners calls and says, hey, I want to pay the taxes. My dad died. Don't know what to do. Immediately the tax office puts the property in the informal estate of mm-hmm. Logan Fulmer. Mm-hmm. So now it's et al at the end. So if you search et al, we literally have hundreds of pages in the appraisal district website of et al's. You've got, there's another one. Of course, I went blank now. Estate of, E-S-T-O-F. That's one. Mm-hmm. That's another easy way to search.
Got it. So if people find this and they're listening to this podcast or watching this podcast and they want your help, do people bring deals to you to unravel?
Probably a quarter, maybe a third of my deals are JV deals. People
really? They just can't. They're like, listen, I don't know who owns this property. I don't know.
How to get this if they tell me that, I say, dude, there are tens of thousands of properties like that. I ain't got time to look for everyone. We have a process and a system to look for the high value with the most distress in the big MSAs in Texas. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
But if you get somebody on the phone, you don't have to talk to all 20 owners. Get one person on the phone
that's
interested and reasonable. Then bring it to me.
Got it.
Then I'll talk to that person or someone in my office can cut a deal and we could JV on it.
Yeah.
Or I can buy, you can bring it to me like as a referral. I'll pay you out. Those work too.
How much money have you made doing this?
A pretty good amount. I haven't seen our books finalized for last year yet. Right. The year before, I have to look back, it was around $5 million net.
And this is just a few deals?
Well, no.
Instead of doing 180?
Yeah, there's volume.
Or 112?
You're talking, usually between the 1 to 200 annual transaction range.
Right.
So that can be skewed sometimes because every once in a while we'll get into one that's not as complicated than we thought. Sure. And we'll say, look, I don't really want this. My wife will go list it on the market. It's simple. And these people are going to be reasonable and pay her a really big realtor fee. Not 3%. They might pay her like a 10% fee.
Right.
In that case, we'll divert it off to the MLS and my wife will sell it. Yeah. And we'll do a small fix for them. But she'll get a 10% listing fee.
Sure.
So we might do something like that.
Nice.
Now, I'll give you an interesting example. One of the guys in my office, I call them operating partners because all the guys each own their own company. I own the other half. So they're operating and running and I'm kind of helping them figure the things out.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of wholesaling over the years. And in October, he said, you know what? I want to get back to the distressed deals. Those are my favorite. I love them. Said, let's do it. So he brought on two guys, a sales guy, a caller, someone who's get on the phone, mm-hmm. and then a researcher, mm-hmm. and then him. Those three people. And
that's your whole team.
That's their entire team. Mm-hmm. Since October, so it's October, November, December, January, in 420 days, they purchased 20 properties. They paid $1.2 million, and our total value is somewhere between $4 and
$5 million. Awesome.
So by the time he gets the sales cycle done, he mm-hmm. should net about $3 million on that work package of about 6 months worth of work.
Awesome.
So I suspect he doubles that in the first 12 months.
Sure.
So
do you teach people this?
I'm getting to the point where I'm doing it now.
Right? Yeah. Don't you have something coming up?
Yeah. So I'm doing an event April 6th in Dallas, Texas.
Like, I feel like you're going to tell people all this and they're going to look at you with like glazed over eyes.
Okay.
Like, I have no idea.
What is that?
It all is and how to unravel title issues or even what title is.
So to try, you're
like,
right.
How do you make this like
digestible?
Yes.
So if you're not, most folks are in real estate. If they're watching you, like they're in the game.
Yeah.
And they have deals they've discarded 100%. Because it fell apart.
I'm thinking of three right now.
Right there. Yeah. Exactly. So my message is to those guys, get the folks engaged again, talk to them about the problems, and then call me about it. Mm-hmm. In the event I'm doing in April 6th, first Saturday of the month.
Where?
in Dallas, Texas.
Awesome.
If you got interest, just go to my Instagram, send me a message. It says,
what's your Instagram?
Logan Fulmer. Easy. LOGANFULLMER. Shoot me a message. We'll send you an invite. What we do is we go over the entire business model, but we spend about half of our day on understanding the deals, sizing the deals up, and understanding how to frame them so that you can call an attorney and pay them to help you, or you can call someone like me and do a really good JV.
Yep.
Or the last thing, I recommend folks do this as a pet project. Think about it. If you can pick up a deal that's worth 200 grand for 50 grand, that's $150,000 for a deal. And if you do it over maybe a quarter as a pet project, you're going to pick up a skill that will change your wholesaling or flipping business.
100%.
Right.
I'm telling you, you're the only guy I know.
Deals are in every market. Now, there's some markets that are better than others to do them if it's a high property tax.
Yeah.
That's a better market.
Yeah, sure.
But it sounds really complicated. You'd be surprised. Attorneys can help you with about half of that. If you get a reasonably competent attorney and get a little bit of guidance, you can fix half these problems. But you just have to say, I'm willing to spend the 5 or 10 grand with an attorney to get him to help me do it and not run away from that.
People get so scared of attorneys. I think of like,
dude, you're making money. Drop 5 G's and try to learn something.
Attorneys are like mentors. You know what I mean? They'll literally walk you through the whole thing, show you the whole thing. They'll be like, oh yeah, we need to do this, 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 and this, which would have taken you like a bazillion hours to figure out. Right?
So the most important
people are like, oh, I don't want to spend money on an attorney. Like an attorney's your coach. Like an attorney's a mentor.
You're making money.
Attorney's going to tell you like this specific thing. And if you get really good at this specific thing, you can make millions.
Right. Yeah. You just spent 5 grand on leads. People are making hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a year in our business. Mm-hmm. And they won't drop 5 or 10 grand on an attorney. Who gives a shit?
Right.
You're going to learn something. It's going to be worth it. Even if you don't finish the deal.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of people just go, oh, attorney, handle that. And then they're just like, yeah, it got done, whatever. You know, and they don't ask the probing questions of how did it get done.
So
you know what I mean?
One of the reasons.
How do I recognize more things like this? What is the commonality here?
That's
what's the avatar of this property owner or property that I can go and really search for?
That's it. So I decided this year to start putting together a community, do some events that helps educate folks enough to where they understand what the flavor is and you can bring it into the group. Guys like me will partner with you on it. There are other people. I'm not trying to take every deal, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make deals work more for more people.
Sure.
There are other people in the groups that will connect. I don't even get a piece of the action. But dude, you drive down the street, I guarantee you there are deals on this street right now that I could pick out within 15 minutes, the street. That have these problems.
Yeah.
They know it.
Yeah. Awesome. Guys, if you're interested in that, go to Logan's Instagram, right? Just your name.
Yeah. Come see me on Instagram.
Yeah. And what you got, like all the details of what's going on. And
you know, I do like a lot of guys. I spend a lot of time yapping about something unique on this deal. I'll do a case study, a webinar. I try my best to get the information out. But if you pay attention to a person's channel long enough, you start to understand what's happening. Example, I always watch Eric's. He was in here earlier.
Yeah.
And I have a really good understanding of what's happening in his business, what his competency is. And I've learned a lot for our wholesaling business by watching his Dead Gum Instagram page. Come do that with me. Right. It's simple and free.
Awesome. Who the heck were your grandparents? Why were they so rich?
Dude, they weren't. They were farmers that they had land become more valuable. My grandparents didn't have big money. They had a farm.
How much land?
Wasn't a lot. It's 150 acres. It was in prime farmland in Iowa.
Okay.
And this was multiple generations of three generations of inheritance.
Really?
Yeah.
Just passed down, passed down, passed down. And then your parents are like, yeah, no, I'm going to be a CPA.
Yeah. My dad.
Realtor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just give.
Well, my mom's side of the family.
A million bucks.
My mom's side of the family didn't have a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't planned like that. My dad was supposed to he was expected to live longer. My dad passed away. So before my grandmother, it skipped a generation that way. If my dad would have got it, he was not good with money. Right. I probably wouldn't have gotten a nickel.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it kind of all ended up the same.
Yeah. Well, actually, who gets to blow it, me or dad?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to tell you what, I had fun doing it, though.
But I think you go through that, though, and it turns you into something else. I mean, I came out of the chutes at 22 and just went bananas and did really, really, really well, relatively.
Yeah.
And lost it all.
Oh.
And had a judgment on myself. I went through a lawsuit. I was the defendant on a lawsuit.
That's so painful, man.
And so you know, at 25, 26, I joke and I bring this out because, you know.
You joke 15 years later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, but some people are listening to this and going through some stuff right now, and they need to understand, like, just keep going through and learn from it. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You're going to be a knucklehead. You're going to be silly sometimes. You're going to do some dumb things. But as long as you learn from it and really figure out a skill and really figure out how to
appreciate things.
Well, and if you're going to be in real estate, as long as you're having conversations and you're making offers, you're going to win. And there's just levels to it. And what level do you want to go? And if you want to be on a higher level, go to your event in April.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I'll tell you, man, for the price of a pair of Jordans, which pretty much everyone out here listening has a pair in their closet now.
It's too low. You should be charging like 20 grand.
I probably could charge more, but I know that when I raise the price, fewer people show up.
I get it.
You get a higher quality, but I want a lot of people there. I've done an event once a year for the last couple of years. First year was 100 people. Last year was a couple hundred.
Yeah.
I think 300, I don't know, maybe 400 happened.
Like more focused, like people that are going to take it seriously.
That's probably the best word. Yeah. A higher quality of business person at the moment.
Right.
They're more experienced. Right. They have money to invest. But I don't want the bar high. I want a lot of people. I want people to figure it out. I need to get the message out.
Yeah.
Because if someone would have taught me how to do this earlier, oh my gosh, I would have made so much more money.
Right. Awesome. Logan, thanks for being on here.
Always a pleasure.
Guys, check out his Instagram and get registered. If any of this conversation, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in my head right now. I don't know what he was saying, or I don't understand this, or I do understand this, and I want to understand it better. Make sure that you go to his event in April. That's going to be bananas. It's going to be really, really, really impressive to see what you do and how you're going to educate people on this, because it is, it's dense. I mean, it's not like, hey, go find an ugly house to talk to the property owner and give them an offer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is unraveling and working with attorneys and doing something on a higher level. And I love it. So thanks for being on here.
No doubt.
Awesome. And that's it, guys. That is our show. If you need any resources, if you need some purchase agreements, you need a guide on how to go through step-by-step how to do your first wholesale deal, go to wholesalinginc.com and check it all out. It is all complimentary there. Because we love you. And that's it. As always, I sign off encouraging you to go out there and talk to people. See you next time. Love you guys. Bye.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.